blessed today to have Mr. Kozlerich, a servant of the Lord, to share with us. It's been great to walk with Vance, of course, through this whole process. He and I have become much closer as brothers in the Lord, and it's a great servant, I tell you. Don't know how many words to put on it, but he is a true servant of the Lord. So let's just open up our hearts and allow God to minister. Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord this morning. Happy day to the mothers in the room, as we've talked before. And thanks be to God for all mothers, without whom none of us would be here. Mothers are important. I was talking with my wife, Linda, a few weeks ago, and we somehow discussed that I was going to be talking today, and I asked her, you know, what would you like for me to talk about? And she says, talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know, the best example of mother to us all. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So we'll dedicate this morning learning about motherhood from the one God chose to birth our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to nurture him through his childhood, and to stand by him through the triumphs and the great heartaches of his ministry of death at the cross. She went the full spectrum of motherhood. I want to cover three themes this morning. The first is that a mother called by God submits completely to God's will. Excuse me. A mother called by God submits completely to God's will. Just as parents today are called by God to the task of being parents, history's most famous mother was called by God to her task. When Mary was a teenager, she was confronted with the challenge to be completely submitted to God's will. And we know when Gabriel gave her angelic message that she was to carry the Christ, Mary was stunned. It's probably not even a good word to explain what she was. She was stunned. So let's read the passage from Luke where he talks about that. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and would be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be done to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. And the key phrase that we see there is, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me as you have said." So Mary never wavered in her complete submission to God, did she? She never wavered. Was she nervous? Certainly she was nervous. Wouldn't you be nervous in that situation? I mean, many of you women are nervous even when you find out that you're married and you are going to have a child. That's a nervous process, right? So certainly she was nervous. Was she unsure of her own abilities? Yeah, she was certainly troubled with that. Was she anxious about the prophecy that part of her future would include pain? That's not a comforting thought either, is it? In Luke 1:46-55, we have the scripture that's called Mary's Song, which Linda alluded to part of this morning, and it tells how she rejoices and is blessed by what God has done and is going to do in her life. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." The humble state of his servant. "From now on, all generations will call me blessed. for the Mighty One has done great things for me and to me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers. That's quite a preamble, isn't it? Mary saw motherhood as an honor and a gift. Mothers today, like Mary, need to have a similar perspective. Sometimes in our society, that's difficult to have. They too are servants of God in all things, and especially in raising children. Mothers all share in this responsibility to raise children that are given to them by God. Mary was a little like the mother who sits up at night, far past her bedtime, waiting for her child to come home from an event or a date. She's like the father who said a silent, heartfelt prayer as his daughter or son go off in the car for the first time out into the world and wonder if they'll get home in one piece that night. She was like any parent that's in this room, really no different, who wanted only the best, who only wanted to protect their child, and was fully aware that life happens and not all of life is pleasant. You know, you could spend a lot of time talking about all the good things about what it's like to be a mother or a father, or in Mary's case, the same thing. But there are downsides, and we need to know that that happens, and we need to know that God is there with us no matter what. Mary was unlike a lot of parents in the world today, though. She was, first of all, completely committed to God. Are all the parents in this country and this world fully committed to God all the time? Something we need to ask ourselves daily. She was also committed. She was so committed to God that she had no room for commitment to anything else in her case. And that made her a mother worth imitating. So again, the theme here is a mother called by God submits completely to God's will. And this morning we sang the song that ended, "Lord, have your way with me." We spent a good time of worship this morning talking about, "Lord, have your way with me." That was what Mary was saying. The second theme I want to talk about is a mother called by God does not have to be perfect. A mother called by God does not have to be perfect. Is that good news? This is great news. A little story about Dr. Benjamin Carson, a renowned surgeon at Johns Hopkins and the presidential candidate this year, which I'm sure all of you have seen on the news and probably have grown to respect for his intelligence and his insightfulness. Mrs. Carson, his mother, insisted that Ben and his brother Curtis write a book report, every couple of weeks. This wasn't for school, this was just for her, the mom. Ben and Curtis dutifully obeyed. They did what they were supposed to do. About the time he was in junior high, Ben finally realized something quite shocking. His mom couldn't read. For years, Ben had read books and scratched out reports, assuming that his mom was dutifully reading these documents and every word that he wrote, but she didn't have a clue what he was saying. Didn't have a clue. So now consider this. Raised by an illiterate mother, Ben grew up to be a world-famous surgeon, who was featured in many articles and is the author of several books. His illiterate mom did not twist her hands over her lack of learning and give up hope in raising intelligent boys. She didn't let that stand in her way. Instead, she gave her boys what she had. She had significant interest, accountability that she made them comply with, and courage to demand extra work. You can find that story in a book called Gifted Hands, 1990, by Ben Carson. Mary took to heart the words of Deuteronomy 4, 9 to 10. It says, "Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. how on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on this earth, and that they may teach their children to do the same. Quite an instruction, right? Even back in those days. A few weeks ago, Scott Jennings stood here and he gave us, reminded us of the importance of honoring God's commands and teaching them to our children so that our families may be blessed for, what did he say? Thousands of generations, not hundreds, not ten, thousands of generations. So despite the fact that she was the mother of Jesus, Mary wasn't perfect. Surprising, isn't it? When Jesus performed his first miracle, Mary's conversation was the most unusual part of the water turned to wine story. Jesus said to Mary, woman, why do you involve me? It's not my time. He wasn't ready for what she wanted him to do. Think of the awkwardness of that situation. Mary's request and conversation with Jesus appears to be totally out of line with what Jesus was ready to do. He wasn't ready to perform miracles yet. He wasn't ready to come out in any way. But Jesus performed that miracle, and there's a feeling that he did so in part because his mother put him on the spot. She put him on the spot. Mothers do that once in a while, don't they? They're proud of us, and they put us on the spot. Let Vance tell you what he did here. Let Johnny tell you what he did there. Right? And we go, huh? If that's not a clear indication of Mary's imperfection, the second case is when Jesus was talking to the crowd. You'll remember this. His mother and brothers stood outside waiting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to speak to you. And he replied to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Kind of a complicated statement, but the idea is if Mary had understood the task that Jesus had, would she have really tried to interrupt him in doing the will of the Father? But as a mother, you know, mothers don't, you know, they're interested in the child and the child's welfare. And even though the child may be doing something that's a mission for them, still they are concerned. You know, why isn't he out here with us? Why isn't he ready to walk home with us, and so on. So as mothers and fathers as well, we make mistakes, which is okay. And we will certainly make mistakes or two today, and we'll make more mistakes tomorrow. Through it all, God will love us, love you. He'll work with us. He'll accept us where we are. As we humble ourselves before him, we know we're nothing without him anyway. And through it all, your task of mothering or grandmothering will be accomplished. It will be accomplished. A well-known definition of the perfect wife and mother is found in Proverbs 31. You've all read it. I'll read part of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's rather lengthy. I would encourage you to read it because it's a beautiful poem. It says, an excellent wife, who can find? She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. And going to the end of the passage, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Amen. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. So how many of you women have been somewhat discouraged by this proverb? Tough to live up to, right? There are 22 lines in this poem. Each one of them begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I didn't know that till I took a stronger look at this. So it's an acrostic poem that speaks of an imaginary woman. She never sleeps. She always works. So that part's probably like most of you, right? But in the poem, she manages to bring her food from afar like a manager of a fleet of ships. That's a pretty broad statement. She runs a farm. She manages a staff. She sews like a fashion expert. She cooks, she cleans, and homeschools her children. Busy life, right? She has a feast waiting for her husband when he arrives home, who has a much less demanding job, I will say, than she does. You know, us husbands don't often really think about what it's like back home when we're at the office. We have our troubles and trials at the office yet, but, you know, the mother's job's a 24/7 continuing exercise, and they don't get a break very often unless we give it to them. If we were to see in English what we can't see in Hebrew, perhaps it would be a poem that says, A is for apple, the apple pie she bakes. B is for the babies she loves. C is for the cleaning of the house, all the way down to Z, and Z is for the zoo she manages in the backyard. Any woman who tries to emulate a woman of Proverbs 31 will understand the first line that says, a wife like this, who can find her? So the theme again is a mother called by God does not have to be perfect. But we know that God, what does God call us to do? He doesn't call us to be perfect. He doesn't call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful, whether we're a mother or a father. And that's the goal. And in being faithful, we're going to make mistakes. And that's okay. The third theme I want to talk about is a mother called by God never relinquishes her title. Once a mother, always a mother. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Mary didn't stand stoically and passively at the foot of the cross. She crumpled at the cross. She fell down to the depths there, moaning and wailing and begging the God of heaven to stop her hell on earth. Can you imagine being in that situation? The truth of Simeon's prophecy at the birth of Jesus was suddenly true. The cross cut deeply into Mary's heart. Despite the pain, however, Mary was there. She was a mother from the beginning and a mother to the end. In John 19:25-27, we see Jesus is taking care of his mother from the cross. But standing by the cross of Jesus, where his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene, they were there. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, presumably that was John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. So even in the anguish of the cross, Jesus took care of his mother. You'll find mothers like Mary in the halls of children's hospitals, in funeral homes, in the counselor's office. Mothers never relinquish the title. Even if the child is rebellious, even if the child is harsh, even if the child is cruel, mothers never relinquish the title. Her heart just won't allow it. Not when she's called by God. When a woman becomes a mother, when a man becomes a father, there's an instant realization that the day will almost certainly come when pain will dominate the picture. It's kind of a harsh statement. The pain will dominate the picture in this world. The crosses are different for each family, but frankly, the crosses usually come. There may be disease or untoward events or death. There may be harsh words and unacceptable actions. There may be tough love and impossible nights. But through it all, a mother never loses her identity and her focus. Mothers called by God never relinquish the title. There's nothing like a mother's love. So in conclusion, I'm not going to talk very long today because I know you'd like to get home and have a nice dinner with your family. Mary had a chance to see God's entire plan played out. Not many mothers get to do that. She suffered through the crucifixion. She celebrated the resurrection. And even was part of the small group that witnessed the powerful presentation of God's Holy Spirit at Pentecost. In fact, I wrote an article about that this month in the Ramshorn. I'm sure you all have read it and you're studying it carefully. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so, because I talked about, you know, the baptism of God's Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit operates in our lives every day. And if we don't accept Him every day and ask Him into our lives every day, we're really missing out on a powerful support that we need to get through the day and to live by biblical principles as we go through our daily walk with Him. What a gift from God to live long enough for parenting to make sense. Some parents live long enough to see God's plan for their children. Some see God working in the lives of their grandchildren, a further blessing. Some surely only see God's plan from the halls of heaven. For us today, we need to be reminded that there are so many principles of parenting in the Bible. We really need to spend time in God's Word every day and really ferret out those principles, what's required of us as a mother and a father, fully committed to the calling that He's given to us. And take to heart the three themes I've reviewed with you today. Submit completely to God's will. That can apply to mothers and fathers. You don't have to be perfect in doing so. And never relinquish your honored title of mother. Amen. Father, we just pray for the mothers today. And we pray, Lord God, for the gift that You've given each family, the gift of life that You've given to the mothers, the gift of children, Lord God. We thank You, Lord, for the strength that You give them, the guidance that You give them, the presence of Your Spirit in their life each day as they accept You. Father, we all just humble ourselves before You and know that we are nothing without You. We just pray that You'll pour Your Spirit out upon us each day to guide and bless each mother and each family, and that the untoward events will be few and the glorious events will be many. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good word. Let's stand together.